Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you and praise you and thank you for this beautiful, glorious, magnificent, wonderful day that you've given to us, and we just praise you and thank you for this day. Lord, you are so worthy to be our Lord and our Savior, to think that you come and defeated the enemy for us so we don't have to put up with him while we're here on this earth. Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you. Now, as the word goes out today, I ask you to give us revelation and wisdom and understanding from the word of God as we read your word, as we learn more about who we are and who our enemy is and the power we have over him in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, we've been talking about demons this week. Yesterday I was talking about demons and about how we are a three-part being and how the demons can affect our soul and our body and how they can dwell in these areas and cause us all kinds of problems. They are our problem, whether we realize it or not. Demons are our major problem in life. But we have two natures also that are part of the believer. Number one, we have the spirit, which is the new man when our spirit was made alive. And number two, we still have the old man or the flesh. Now, in the regenerated man exists these two natures. The human being, which is called the old man or the flesh, and the divine or the new man or the spirit. Now, in relation to this subject, I would strongly suggest that we go to the Word of God and read and see what the Word of God has to say about some of these things. Now, I'm going to start in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Now, I want you to listen to what Paul is telling us here in the book of Romans. In Romans 6, 4, we're going to read several verses here. I want you to listen to what he says. He says, "Therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now you notice there, should, means we don't have to, but we should. Now it's amazing the people that don't do this, but we should walk in newness of life. In verse 5 says, he says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified." Now here was this old nature we're talking about, the flesh, "that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness under God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, we should not. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether ye are to sin, which leads unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." Now, I want you to think about that. If, as a born-again Christian, you have the right to obey whichever one of those you want to obey. But if you obey sin and you yield to the flesh, the old sinful nature, you will die prematurely. So you need to make sure that you yield to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Now then, I'm going to step over here to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to know there's some very rigid requirements to truly being a born-again Christian. This is not an easy walk, but it is obtainable. If it was not, then the Lord lied to us. But we know that's not true, that He could not lie to us. So He's telling us what to do here. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 22, another thing He tells us to do. That you put off concerning the former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, after which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even for God, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And now what He's trying to say here, we are to walk in love as Christ did. Now then, if you put off this nature, this flesh man, then these are the things you're supposed to do. You're supposed to meet all these requirements as a born-again Christian. Now then, if you walk in obedience to God's word, you will give no place to the flesh. You'll give no place for the evil one to come in and dwell in your soul and your body. But if you do not, you will open the door to that beast, and he will come in and live within you, and you'll have that darkness within you, and oh, how dark will be that darkness, and you will not be able to enjoy life with that beast living in you. Now then, I'm going to go over here to one more place in the Scriptures, and start in Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read some more things that the Word of God says that should change once we become a born-again Christian, if we are obedient to the Word of God, and we'll mortify there in our members these wicked things that are in our flesh. Now, if we will do that, he says now in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now as you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you also forgive them. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in the one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, as you can see, there is the requirements that's laid out for us there between the new man and the old man. And I'm going to tell you, the old man, our sinful and depraved human nature, inhabits the body and the soul of the believer. And on the other hand, the new man, as a holy and perfect divine nature, inhabits the spirit. Now, the flesh, or the old man, and the spirit, the new man, continuously oppose each other. Now, there is a battle raging within you day and night. And for that reason, in the soul of most believers, there is this constant battle that's going on. I mean, it's raging. And Paul describes that in Romans chapter 7 and in Galatians 5. Now, that conflict is in great part aroused and inflamed by the unclean spirits that operate in the old man of the believer. Now, the demons reinforce and excite the flesh so that it may resist the Holy Spirit that dwells and operates in the regenerated spirit of man. Now, I'm telling you, there is a battle going on in your inner being between God and the devil trying to kill your human, your body. Now then, if the Holy Spirit is willing to inhabit the same body with the old man, that is truly a satanic creature, worse than any demon can be, should it be difficult for us to believe that he is willing to dwell momentarily in a body that is contaminated by evil spirits? Scripture reveals that the flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, Romans 8. Demons, on the other hand, can be subject in the name of Jesus, or they must be subject to you in the name of Jesus, because he wrote that for us in Luke chapter 10. The flesh, as the unredeemed human nature, cannot be cast out. Demons can be cast out when the person admits that he has them and is willing to submit to God in order to be set free. There is only one remedy for the flesh that resides in us. That's crucifixion. That is a constant and conscious identification with the death of Christ. Another is the remedy for the evil spirits that operate in our beings. That's liberation. The flesh must be mortified or crucified, but demons must be bound and expelled by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Regrettably, you cannot cast out the flesh, neither can you crucify the demons. The solution is different in each case. Once the demons have been cast out, the believer by the Spirit can begin to take dominion over his flesh, mortifying it, restraining it, and subjecting it to the obedience of Jesus Christ.